You handle that the way you want. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead. I mean, I know it was something that the BJ fans were very upset about after the first episode. And really what I tried to tell everyone after that first episode is that you have to look at UFC primetime perhaps differently than the 24/7 shows on HBO for boxing, is that this is a four-part series. This is not one standalone countdown show as we're used to in the world of MMA. Four-part series, the fourth part obviously being the fight. And if you look back at it now, you can't tell me that there was an interesting story arc with BJ, one that was not fabricated, one that fell into our laps. I was there. We had a kind of things mapped out how we want this show to go. And when he took that vacation and everything that went down, that was something that we did not know about going into this. And whether or not it was, you know, something that normal fighters do or something that was out of the ordinary for BJ, we never insinuated anything. Dana White's reaction to it was very much legit. It was not contrived, contrary to what other people think. That's obviously your opinion, but that's the way the show went. And I think if you look back at it now, GSP was kind of this straight line, kill, 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 kill. And BJ, you know, gave us some peaks and valleys, and in many ways that kind of makes him a more interesting character.
That was the primetime show, just like the 24/7, where they stretched it out to 3 weeks. That was on Spike TV to preview BJ Penn and George St. Pierre. And there was a break of, about 5 days where BJ, about 3 weeks out from the fight, just stopped training because that's what he does. And my guess is that if you'd wanted to, you really could have made him look incredibly lazy. You probably had more footage of him doing not as much as he should have been doing.
Well, I mean, it's interesting when you sit there and you're working on this show and you get the tapes in from Montreal, you get the tapes in from Hawaii, and you're comparing the two of them, you know, on the surface, you're like, wow, this other guy's bringing in, you know, Nate Marquardt, Keith Jardine, Rashad Evans, the list goes on. Another guy over in Hilo is doing his own thing. But that's not to say that his own thing was the wrong way of going about it. I mean, that Running of the Rock stuff is unbelievable. And if you watch, you know, just the raw footage of it, it's out of this world. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, and I heard even, I think it was someone in BJ's camp, maybe even BJ himself, say that, you know, we insinuated that his brother was a liar on the show. The fact of the matter is, Monday night, I have the dates. Monday was the 6th, I believe it was, till Saturday night, he went on vacation. And this show was not, you know, 3 months of BJ and GSP's training camp. This show was what went down in the last 3 weeks of training camp. So that's from the 5th all the way to the 28th. When the last show had aired, and he decided to go on vacation. Now, we would have been liars, and we would have been creating a reality show, quote-unquote, if we would have pretended like that didn't happen and just showed some old footage of him training. But that's really what happened, and we had to tell the story.
Yep, and some idiots on the web criticized you, said it was fabricated, just ridiculous. I don't like when people do that.
No, and it wasn't. And it wasn't some Spike UFC. You know, people were blaming the UFC. People were blaming Spike. It really was what happened. And I know, you know, with The Ultimate Fighter and how the last couple of seasons have gone down, I know people have their alarms up for that stuff. I mean, we saw what happened this past season of The Ultimate Fighter. I have no idea what goes on with that show. But I can tell you that it was all legit, and I can tell you that exactly what Dana White said in his video blog, we told him about what was going on. He was as surprised as anyone, and he said, I'm going to give him a call and see what happens. We'd even know if BJ or JD would pick up the phone. And as you saw, BJ didn't pick up the phone,
right.
And it was in there too. I mean, we did not fabricate any of that. We didn't tell BJ, you better pick up the phone because we got the cameras rolling. That would have been fabricating stuff. And that's why I got a little upset about it, because we tried to do everything as real as possible. And, you know, as everyone knows on the Internet, you can't please everyone.
Exactly. Idiot bloggers.
Yeah, I hate those fuckers.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry.
Ariel Helwani, yeah, watch it, please.
I'm used to being on Sirius. I'm sorry.
All right. One of the bloggers out there, Ariel Helwani's with us. Greasegate. What do you think about the coverage? And what do you think of the legitimacy that GSP won that fight because of Vaseline?
Well, the coverage and the actual story are two different beasts. If you're curious about the coverage, I think the coverage has been interesting. I think that some of your colleagues and my colleagues on the blogosphere have a little bit of a big head now, if I may say so myself, because, you know, much kudos to everyone, the main bloggers out there. They were very much involved with, taking down Pro Elite, right? I mean, after the whole scandal with Seth Petruzzelli, they kept pumping away at this story. And then, a couple of weeks later, The Shaws are gone, Lappin's gone, and Proly seemingly dies. So, and I think a lot of people are patting themselves on the back, and they're trying to create this whole thing all over again. But I actually think it's much ado about nothing. I think it's a non-story, and it's a non-story only because it would have been something had someone after the fight, BJ Penn or someone from his camp, said, "Hey, George was greasing throughout this fight. George was doing this and that, and he was being unfair." And then we'd look back at the tape and say, "Holy crap, Phil Nurse was putting Vaseline on his back." But no, that's not what happened. Someone called it out between the first and second rounds, whether it was Chuck Liddell, whether it was Keith Kaiser. He told the official in the ring to wipe him off. He did wipe him off. Now, whether or not it was bad on GSP's part or GSP's training, his corner man's part for actually thinking of doing something like that or what their motives were is a whole other question. But someone was there to wipe it off, so it played no factor into the fight. This thing was caught when it happened. Much kudos to the Nevada State Athletic Commission for picking up on it. So it's a non-story. What are we harping about? To me, it just comes off as sour grapes on BJ's part. He lost the fight. Just let it go, man. You're a legend. You're a true warrior. All that stuff. Just let it go. Whether or not GSP is a cheater, I guess we'll have to talk to his other former opponents that seem to be coming out of the woodwork now saying he's greasy. It's very interesting that a guy like Matt Hughes would say that after he lost him twice. I don't think he's a cheater. I think it's much ado about nothing, and I think that we should all just kind of chill about this one.
Yeah, I'll mildly disagree with you on this, Ariel, because it shouldn't have been put on in the first place. Yeah, they wiped it off. It doesn't all come off, and when mixed with sweat, it becomes slippery. Now, I don't think it changed the outcome of the fight in any respect. I think it is sour grapes from guys like Matt Hughes. Nevertheless, it was something they shouldn't have done, and that's why Keith Kaiser went running into the ring between the second and third rounds. You're not supposed
Absolutely.
To do it.
It shouldn't have been done, but it was caught. And okay, maybe they didn't have 5 minutes to wipe him down, but they did wipe him down. I saw the guy, even as no one was left in the cage, he's still trying to wipe him down as much as possible. So, I mean, yes, it was a mistake, but I didn't see him taking a whole glob of Vaseline and pouring it all over his back. And really, I mean, it obviously affects certain points of the fight, but that Superman jab, I don't see how Vaseline could have affected that. I mean, obviously, certain things can definitely be pointed towards George's favor if you look at his leg slipping, but come on, there was a guy there wiping it off, and I truly believe, I might be naive, but I truly believe that whole, witch doctor's theory that Greg Jackson put out there. It does look like he's trying to, go to the top of his back there, and he's rubbing him in the center of the chest. I've never seen anyone do that, and I just don't think that GSP is that kind of guy. He's been so respectable, and he doesn't even like to talk trash, this kind of guy. Is he going to really cheat? Does he really think he needs to cheat to beat BJ Penn? I don't think so, and that's why I just think it's a non-story. It's something that should definitely be watched, and it should never happen again, but I don't think that GSP won that fight because of any Vaseline on his back.
All right, strong take. Ariel Helwani's with us, one of the real good bloggers out there up on the blogosphere. All right, let's get to some of the news that's maybe coming down in the next couple of days. You were really tight with Elite XC folks. Jared Shaw was one of your best buddies. You had a good relationship for a long time with Strikeforce as well. I say had because Strikeforce hasn't had an event. They have nothing planned. What the hell's going on? And now it looks like maybe there was a reason behind this that it's gotten real quiet.
Yeah, it's a very interesting story because maybe 2 months ago when we heard these rumors that Pro Lee was actively on the market and all that, people were trying to purchase them, put in bids. We heard that Scott Coker put in a bid and he fell short by a couple million. I was surprised just from that story that Coker was even trying to purchase Pro Lee because we really don't know what is up for sale. I mean, is Gina Carano and Jake Shields, Robbie Lawler, are these guys up for sale, or is it just the tape library like Mark Cuban bought of the International Fight League? So we really didn't know, and now here we have another story coming out again that, Pro Elite has been purchased. Now, I've been unable to confirm this. I don't know if it has been purchased. I don't know even know if it's even up for sale, but all signs right now are pointing towards Scott Coker and Strikeforce. I've tried to call the good people over at Strikeforce, but, understandably so, I guess, if they are related to this, they're pretty quiet at this moment, and that's really something that's always been the case with Strikeforce. I even remember when they, at the last minute, put Scott Smith on their last card in November to fight Terry Martin. They wouldn't even tell me, even at the event, how they got Scott Smith to even fight on that card. They're very tight-lipped, and I think that's kind of what separates them from the Afflictions and the Elite XCs of the world. They don't put out multiple stories. They've got one leader at the top, and that one leader doesn't like to talk a lot, which is, I guess, to his credit. But if he is the guy who's coming to save the day here for the Elite XC fighters, it's going to be interesting the way things plan out, because now he's clearly trying to position himself as number two. They have, you know, we know that Elite XC has this, or the former Elite XC had this deal with CBS and Showtime. Scott has a relationship with NBC. There's a lot of unanswered questions, which even kind of makes me think it's not Scott who's behind this. So, and really, does he get the contracts? You know, Gina Carano used to fight for Strikeforce. She left them to go fight for Elite XC. What's her relationship like with those guys? Jake Shields is a local fighter. You'd think he'd be a natural fit, but there's a lot of unanswered questions. So according to Sherdog, we'll have some sort of announcement by the end of the week. I'm very curious to see if anything happens, but we've heard this story before, so if it doesn't happen, I wouldn't be surprised also.
All right, Ariel, let's finish on this. You have a theory on Fight Night, the event this weekend in Tampa, the way the card breaks down, and also maybe what this means for the future of broadcast in terms of UFC on Spike.
Yeah, this Saturday night, obviously, Ultimate Fight Night 17. I think it's a really good card. And if you kind of take a step back and look at the UFC's upcoming schedule, three out of their next four shows are actually for free. You've got this show, you've got UFC 95, February 21st in London. Then there's a pay-per-view in Columbus, but then they come back with another fight night right before the premiere of The Ultimate Fighter 9. And it's starting to seem, you know, when the UFC re-upped their deal with Spike last fall, they talked about in 2011 to start doing these weekly fight night shows. Dana White has always said that he's a big fan of you know, the Tuesday night fights that were used to be on USA, and he's got a huge roster right now, 200 guys. And I'm starting to think that, you know, we're getting these more and more free shows. We're getting the pay-per-views, you know, the ones over in London that were originally supposed to be on HBO, but we're seeing them on Spike now. I feel like this is their way of testing the waters. Three out of the next 4 weeks, we've got shows coming up. Are people really into having a weekly UFC show live on cable television? I think so. It's done great wonders for someone like WWE. It doesn't get stale if you just have one two-hour show, and you don't need to stack them with 11 fights. You can just have four or five. You do them in one of the small venues in Las Vegas. I think it would do great for the UFC, and then you could give fans a reason to get into guys like Joe Lauzon, Jeremy Stephens, Cain Velasquez, guys that might not get, you know, so much airtime on a pay-per-view, and now they're headlining a show like this. So I think that this is the beginning of the UFC testing the waters, seeing if there is a market for those weekly fight night shows.
What do you think, Dave?
I think it's a great idea. Why not? I mean, look, you can always cut back if you oversaturate. But the idea is to get that saturation point to the highest level possible first, which is what wrestling did. And it was extraordinarily successful. And sure, it's not quite as big as it used to be, but what a run they had. They made a fortune.
So what do you do from a card standpoint? You do basically a two-hour show with four fights? Or five fights? Or do you do a... I mean, you can't do a whole card every week or every 2 weeks, can you, Ariel?
I would do less than that, by the way. I would go 90 minutes tops.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do 90 minutes. You put four fights. I mean, now they've got a two-hour show that's four fights. So, you know, maybe you can only have three, but three's enough. If it's three good fights, and, you know, you have some dark matches, some undercard matches. If the fights end early, you throw those on as they do on the pay-per-views. And it just gives – it's a great way to push your upcoming pay-per-views, because you've got – here you've got this programming that, you know, you could keep pushing it throughout the shows that, you know, 2 weeks is UFC 96. And, again, you get to build new stars, and you only have so much time on pay-per-view. And especially in this economy, you can only do so many pay-per-views. And it was for a while there, we thought that the UFC was going to kill us with, like, three straight pay-per-views, and clearly they figured out that, you know, UFC 95 is not pay-per-view worthy, so they put it for free on Spike. And I think it just makes sense, because you have to build stars. And no other MMA promotion, and even if you look at boxing, they're not building stars. We've got these six boxers who keep being on these 24/7 shows. Yeah, they're being rotated. They're being recycled. And that's it. We don't know who any of the up-and-coming guys are. If the UFC is able to pull this off and have a weekly fight night show, whether it's a 90-minute or two-hour, I think it will be amazing for them.
And the good news is that Dana White will now be doing 340 video blogs. You'll get one every day, and Marty Cordova will shoot himself in the head.
Yes, Marty Cordova. I want to see much more Marty Cordova. No, you know it's great. For the fight night shows, you get like another guy. You get like you know, one of the lower level Dana Whites to do it. So then we can build up new star fighters and new star executives.
Hey, now you're talking.
New star executives.
New
I like
star
it.
Executives. Why not?
Hey, it's worked for Dana, hasn't it? Jeez, the guy. They now have an official after party spot in Vegas at LAX, and I'm sure they got some money out of that. So it's
amazing. Who shows up at that? Does Dana actually show up?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. We talked to him on Saturday night at the post fight show, and you know, if we don't get him, if you don't hear him on the post fight show, that usually means that he is running out the door to go over to this after party. And you know what? I give credit to the guy because he looked like he was going to fall asleep on the show. Now maybe that was me interviewing him that was putting him to sleep, but he was beat, and he was still going out to go spend, you know, 2 hours at the club.
You talk about the blogosphere. I've heard people rip on Dana for having after parties like it's a conflict of interest. You believe, like, is it weird for a promoter to have an after party? It never really bothered me, but I don't know. You're closer to that scene than I am.
No, I it's much ado about nothing. Who cares? You know, but it actually, it works. We're going to let you go here in a second because we're up against it. But it works because it just cultivates that whole fight on the blogosphere, which makes the sport more popular. He's the real-life Vince McMahon. People hate the guy, and you're like, okay, well, hate him. I'm not really sure why, but yeah, hate him or love him.
Just get me an invite to the Jared Shaw after party, and then it makes a lot more sense.
All right. Well, that'll be a crazier party. We know that, but
yes,
also be in his dad's basement right now. So
just as long as there's somebody behind a blanket that
exactly. Yeah, okay, so. Don't have any naked chicks there or half naked chicks because right. He might peek. All right, Ariel. Thank you.